Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family: finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Mary and for Maria on Mom Talk Radio. It's always a pleasure to be here guest hosting for Maria. And it is the first week in December. If you went Black Friday or shopping, I hope you survived. If you were like me and decided to shop in your pajamas on Cyber Monday, I got some pretty good deals. And I was just looking to see what the expected sales were and how retailers fared. We had done a blog post the week before Black Friday that predicted, based on, I think it was a Forbes.com survey, that Cyber Monday anyway was going to be a $91.6 billion, that was billion with a B, dollar shopping day, and it was going to be the largest in history. So I am curious, and we'll certainly share when we find out that information, whether it hit that mark or not. But either way, Cyber Monday is just an unbelievable shift, obviously, in the last decade in how we shop. And of course, ironically, I start shopping on Cyber Monday, and I left some things in a cart, and sure enough, they keep emailing me, "You've left something in your cart," you know, a certain retailer. So it's amazing how far we've come in shopping. But regardless, I hope you are working on your holiday list and or finished with it. I know some moms in my circle are finished, and I'm completely jealous. But one of the things we do is the Elf on the Shelf, and that is super fun. And in the next week, we're going to put on Maria's blog on bluesuitmom.com. We're going to put a blog post about Elf on the Shelf ideas. We've got moms out there working for at-home stores, and At Home is a home decor superstore where you can find awesome items for really reasonable prices. And some of the Elf ideas are just hilarious. Like, there's this little sled that the Elf fits in, and you can put it in there and hide it, and, you know, not hide him, but place him around your house. So my daughter was ready for the Elf when he showed up this week. So that's one of the things we have to do every night when we go, before we go to bed. Remember to do it anyway, my husband and I. But it's fun because this time is so precious and it goes so fast. So, and when we have a great show lined up, speaking of going fast, we have two educators who are going to talk about helping children to prepare to succeed in new and challenging situations. They specialize in special education, actually. And we'll also be joined by Dr. Martha Cortez. She'll be telling us how sleep can keep us healthy. And with the temperatures dropping and the fluctuation in temperatures, we can catch a nasty little cold. So it's important to keep up on your sleep to keep yourself healthy. And then we are going to speak with unicornmoms.com blog owner Maria Hunt. She'll be with us to talk about her Facebook group, and it sounds like a really fun everyday kind of mom's group. So we'll be joined by Maria to talk about her blog. And then we'll also talk to Suzanne Duncan. She is the author of an upcoming book, All By Myself and Rocking It, How to Be Successful at Single Parenting. Lots of single parents out there, and whether you are a single parent by choice or circumstance, it's going to be a great interview with Suzanne. And then Shelley Bailey Shaw is going to talk about her website, and she's the editor of kidtripster.com. And as we enter the holiday season and all the traveling we're doing, she's going to have some great tips on traveling with the kids and also making holiday memories out of a lot of the travel adventures that we take. And this weekend, actually, I'm off to Disney with my littlest one. So I'm going to make sure to pick up an ornament, because that's how we commemorate a lot of our trips, if we find Christmas ornaments from a certain city, town, country, et cetera. So when we come back, our first guest is going to join us. And before we break, though, I do want to mention Premama. That is our sponsor. And drinkpremama.com, you can find information about the product line that is for complete maternity wellness, including fertility supplements, lactation supplements, and, of course, the original in the series, the prenatal vitamins that you can drink. You put them in a non-carbonated beverage, smoothie, any kind of yogurt drink, any kind of like thing like that. Oh, we have a puppy in the office. This is Maria's new puppy, Scout, making her voice known behind me. So we're going to take a break. We're going to see if we can get Scout to settle down here, and we'll be right back with our first guest. Stay with us.
Mom's Little Secret. Mom Talk Radio.
I'm pleased to welcome a duo of guests, Kevin and Jesse Howard. Jesse is a special education teacher in Westchester County, New York. Say that again. He has his master's in education from Manhattanville College. And Kevin Howard graduated twice from University of South Florida. Actually, that's near us down here in South Florida. And they have a series of books called Kookabook, and I'll let them tell us about it. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, thank you for having us on, Mary. It's great to be here.
So, yeah. Jesse, let's start with you. You have extensive background in special ed. So, tell us about the books in the Kookabook series.
Yeah. So, what we have done is we've put together a bunch of social stories that we're turning into a series. And a social story is something that I've used in the classroom forever now, basically, and. Really what it is it focuses on one particular interaction that the child is going to have. So, for example, going on a trip for the first time, maybe. I heard you saying you were taking your kids to Disney this weekend. So
yes.
And especially for a child on the spectrum, on the autism spectrum, taking a trip for the first time could be a very, you know, exciting but also anxiety-causing thing. So you would actually write a story with your child about that experience. You could actually use pictures from Disney, for example, of the actual rides and, you know, maybe some of the lines that they're going to have to wait on, some of the things that they might struggle with. And
parents, you know, too, by the way.
Exactly. And through that story, you'd create a story, a personal story for your child, and reading it over and over again kind of gives your child the, you know, the preparedness to enter that situation and have a better chance at success. So that's basically what our series is about.
Right. And so, Kevin, you have experience as a dad yourself. Tell us a little bit about that and how it affected the book series.
Well, it was actually the genesis of the book series. My son was diagnosed with autism at an early age, and I used social stories to help him get through some challenging situations. And the first one we did was having his blood drawn. And I found pictures, and I wrote a story, and we read it over and over and over again before we actually visited the doctor's office. And, you know, that's a pretty traumatic experience for anybody.
Yes.
Especially for a little boy who's very confused and doesn't know what's really going to take place. And actually reading it over and over with him and creating it with him, the interaction and the event went very smoothly. It went without incident. And Kookabook came about from a childhood toy that I had that helped me through a very difficult time when I was in the hospital. Kookabook was a monkey that was given to me while I was in the hospital. One of my father's friends came in to visit me. And the thing that's crazy about this, Mary, is this is 47 years ago that took place. So Kookabook obviously had a very lasting impression in my life. And I wanted to bring him back to, you know, I always wanted to write children's stories using Kookabook as a character. I just never knew how. And while I was writing the social stories for my son, I realized when I was writing one actually to take a trip to New York that we had the storyline for Kookabook. I looked at my wife and I said, "This is Kookabook."
Mm-hmm.
And we put the idea together, and it took a little time to come up with the characters and all that and how we wanted to present it. And I asked my brother to join me. We could use some of his expertise. And lo and behold, here we have a series called The Kooky Adventures of My Friend Kookabook. And
that's wonderful. So, Jesse, do you how many years have you been a special ed teacher then?
So, I believe I'm in my 12th year now.
Okay. And Kevin, you're in your 20th year, right?
Go back that far, but yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, you've got 20 years in
the... Yeah, I'm the old guy here, yes. 20 years.
Sorry, I'm dating you guys, sorry.
Yeah.
So when you talk, you said it's the importance of the role of the parents and caregivers to basically, obviously they lead this as for the children, but to create, to help with the social stories. And I think that's so important. So can you expound on that a little bit more, Kevin?
Yeah, well, what we did in the with the series that makes it a little bit more unique than other social stories that are out there is that we have tips and strategies that we offer at the end of the book. So if there's a strategy or something that's going on any particular page, we have an icon that represents to the parents, hey, take a look at the back of the book and to give them a suggestion on how to help them through a similar interaction. So we have built in ready-made tips and strategies that if a caregiver, a parent, a teacher is in that situation, they don't have to go on the internet or go anywhere else. They could just look in the back of the book and see how they could possibly get a suggestion to help them through that that situation. So,
right.
And the icon that we have on there is actually a bird. It's a blue and gold macaw, and it's a bird that I have. I've had Trevor now for almost 26 years, and we wanted something that would be fun for the kids to see on the page. We didn't want to indicate that there's something bad going on. We wanted to make it fun for the kids, and something that the parents, they say, oh, okay, something's going on this page, and they can see what's going on. And we made Kookabook's mom actually the one who is going to facilitate these interactions between Kookabook and Emily. And Emily happens to be the girl who's narrating all these adventures with her friend. And that way, when the parents are reading it, they can go to the back of the book, see what's going on, and model or you know, mimic what's being modeled by Kookabook's mom in fostering the relationship between Kookabook and Emily.
Jesse, where can our listeners find information about the book and the website? And you can spell it out again, by the way.
Yeah, so it's www.kookabook.com, KookaBuk.com. And we have a pretty extensive website. We're still building upon it, but there's plenty of information there. You can actually buy the book right there. It is available on Amazon and CreateSpace. But yeah, everything you need is right there on our website, kookabook.com.
It's wonderful. Actually, I'm looking at it, that you have even coloring pages. It's so cute. Really, really well-developed website and really great stories. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us. And again, it's kookabook.com. And when we come back, we're going to pull from the archives on our Spotlight on Moms, my favorite segment. Stay with us. It's my favorite segment of Mom Talk Radio. We talk to moms, everyday moms that are living the life and blogging and tweeting. And this is Gwendolyn Mulholland. She is the mom of two children, a tween and a teen, it looks like. And she blogs at FindingSanityInOurCrazyLife.com and tweets at FindingSanity1. And that's the numeral one. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Gwendolyn.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, you want to talk about a really important topic, and it's something that we sometimes just don't want to talk about, and that is parenting and mental health. So it's obviously there's a lot going on with kids, and especially back to school time, and the holidays are crazy. But tell us a little bit about your experiences, and you have some tips to share as well, correct?
Yes, I do. I mean, parenting itself is hard to tackle on, you know, a day-to-day basis. And then when you add in having a mental illness, you know, and trying to balance your mental health and still being a parent, things can get a little complicated, especially at this time of year when all of a sudden routines are being put back in place, the joys of summer are gone. You know, it's kind of nice to have the downtime in the summer, but schedule is good at times.
Yes.
And the one really big thing that if no one does anything else is to take time for yourself. And this is something that moms and dads, you know, need to do anyways. You know, you have to take care of you in order to be able to take care of your family. And as someone who has bipolar disorder, it's hard to take time for yourself because you feel like you're cutting your family out, you know, that you're taking away from them. But the one thing over the years I have learned is I'm only as good for them as I am for me.
That's
so
true.
I always, you know, whenever anyone asks, I tell them, you know, you do need to put yourself first at times because you can't help them, you know, if you're worn out, if you're worn down. And, you know, it's something little as much as, you know, sometimes I even like to just go grocery shopping by myself. You know, I like grocery shopping, so that, you know, that's a stress reliever. It could be going to sit at the park, going out with your girlfriend, saying, I'm going to read a book for 30 minutes, go away. And that's okay. And we shouldn't feel guilty about that. And when we do that, you know, that kind of goes into the next thing I feel that's important is setting boundaries. You know, if you say this is what I'm going to do, you know, I need this time for myself, is to set those boundaries up and stick with them. It's okay to tell your kid, you know, your children, okay, you need to go see your dad during this time that's, you know, for me. Or telling your spouse, no, I need this time, because it helps you overall, which once again goes back to helping the family. And with the kids back in school, we tend to feel like we're shorter on time. You know, they've got after-school activities and, you know, different school events, but it is still really important, you know, to set those boundaries. And even when it comes to their school activities, you know, and school events, I mean, the schools are always sending home notes, you know, oh, we need volunteers for this, and, you know, we need volunteers for that. And I homeschool, so I personally don't have as much of that now as when the kids were in school. But it's still important to have those boundaries and say, this is what I'm going to do, and stick with them and not feel guilty about it. Because I think as moms, we tend to make ourselves feel guilty.
I think a lot of moms do exactly feel that. They feel guilty, and they can't, you know, because they're obviously have to give 100%, 110% to their family. And you're right. It doesn't help anybody if the mom's, her tank's half full. You know, if your tank's half full, it's not going to help. The best analogy, and I have 2 points to make really quickly, because the best analogy I had was from one of my babysitters when my kids were really young, and she used to be a flight attendant. And she used the analogy of when you get the safety emergency procedure talk at the beginning of each flight, and they say, when the oxygen mask drops, put it on yourself first, then assist your child. And that was her way of saying, that's exactly how you should look at your whole, you know, everything you do. In other words, start with yourself, and then everybody else will be just fine, you know? So it's very interesting.
Yeah, and it is amazing how once you set, you know, especially the boundaries and taking time for yourself, once you start doing that, the family falls in line. You know, the kids start to see, your husband starts to see, oh, wow, yeah, she is, you know, a little nicer person and not as stressed when, you know, she's had time to herself, or, you know, and you actually end up being able to give more, you know, by taking more time for yourself.
Right.
Because you don't feel burnt out.
Right.
Know? And the analogy with the oxygen mask is totally spot on.
Do we find information about this on your blog? Your blog is findingsanityinourcrazylife.com.
Yep. And on the blog, I will actually have a link with those tips and 3 more that I find, you know, really helpful just to help, you know, with the parenting. They will be on the website. It'll actually go live today, so they will be able to access that information. And, you know, there's other helpful tips about parenting and, you know, things just to make life easier.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Gwendolyn, and best of luck in the school year and that you're homeschooling. You're very brave. I always wanted to, but I never had the courage to do it. So good for you. And have a wonderful fall and holiday. And when we come back, we're joined by Dr. Ali Domar. She is the author of Finding Calm for the Expectant Mom. Stay with us.
You succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
It's the busiest time of the year, too. In addition to the most joyous time of the year, it's the holidays. And with all that, we can lose a lot of sleep, and that's not healthy. Our next guest, Dr. Martha Cortez, is a leading sleep expert and founder of the Cortez Sleep Clinic in New York City. And she is going to talk about how we can ward off the common cold. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Cortez.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, you know, it's hustle and bustle, and moms particularly are so, so busy. So give us a little background on your practice. And, of course, we want to know the ways to ward off common colds that are going to become very, very popular in the next few weeks.
Well, my practice really, I'm a general practice, so therefore I am a general dentist, and I do practice cosmetic and laser for periodontal surgery, and more of the holistic point of view, more like what materials that are good for you. But because of all that, what we have found is that the respiration, the way people breathe, is really a problem, because about 30% of them don't breathe all year. Some of them have the 30% allergies, and then some have some kind of allergies towards food, and therefore also the environment as a result. So the daily habits become very important. And that's how we've ended up with the kids and the adults and expanding. So I'm in TMJ and sleep. We expand the jaw in order to create the nasal space as well as the airway space.
Mm-hmm. So how do so? And actually, I just heard something on a national talk show yesterday about that. Like, you can live X number, how long without food? 2 weeks, a week without water, but you can only live 3 minutes without air. And they were saying, breathe, breathe. You know. So when you said that, I started to take a deep breath in and deep breath out.
True.
You know?
Not only that, so many of us, because we're a little hyper, and so many of us, because we're in New York City and the electricity in New York City, we breathe from their upper lungs and not deep inside.
Right.
Children, a lot of them are being born for even their muscles are like hypotensive. They're actually underdeveloped in a way. They also don't get enough oxygen. So this is how I delve in this whole world of not enough oxygen, because the sleep is not getting enough oxygen because their respiratory area is not. So yoga is very good. Even little kids can do yoga. Taking fire breath, learning how to breathe and bringing it down, just those are your good basics. Good foods. What are good foods that are not going to give you a lot of mucus or a lot of congestion of your sinus?
What else do you recommend nasal strips?
Those are like number one, especially now during the holiday season. The second they get stuffy nasal strips, especially these little kid nasal strips, little baby strips, they can actually open up the airway by 39%. So therefore, that's important. Oh, yes. And there's little things like homeopathy, Nox Vomica, actually can help with the drippy, itchy little throats and drippy noses. There are foods that quercetin. You can buy quercetin, Quercitin.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to say, how do you spell that?
It's a hard one. Or you can actually eat foods with quercetin. And it's good to look it up, to actually know things for yourself. The internet is so good at that. But did you know that honey is also a good thing?
I've heard of honey being, you know, obviously we don't really pay much attention because of all the other sugar products out there. But honey, I hear, is very good. For respiration, too?
Well, it's interesting. It got the Nobel Prize recently. Because it's anti-malaria, antiviral, antibacteria. The thing is, you cannot warm it up. You want to be able to take honey and swallow it. So it coats everything and then maybe follow with like very lukewarm tea.
Right. Okay.
So,
gotcha.
Yeah, so you have the nasal strips, you have the honey, you have the quercetin, you have the Nox Vomica for that. There's simple things like once you do start getting, okay, we've got to keep the nose open. Saline solutions. Yeah. From Arm & Hammer, there's a simple saline solution to clean it in order to keep it, the flowing of the airway. Because if you keep the nose flowing, you actually get, remember that thing called nitric oxide?
Yes.
Nitric oxide opens up. It actually dilates the lungs more and you breathe better, but it also opens up the nose better. And all you have to do is breathe through your nose. So mouth breathers on the little kids, if they get enough breath through the nose, can tape them at night or during the day to teach them how to breathe through their nose. So I take a half, like a little third strip on the middle of the lips for them to start using their nose. People don't use their nose.
They're
also, so we have the antihistamine being the quercetin, the Nox Vomica, the nasal strips, the saline solution, the honey.
These are all homeopathics.
They're all homeopathic. You know what? If you have to, Benadryl is a touch that sometimes we have to. If the nose is really that closed off, I'm sorry, but Benadryl is really very good. In that whole world of inflammation that nobody understands where it's there, a touch of Benadryl before going to sleep. But a real touch, a little kid, an adult maximum a teaspoon, a little kid like a quarter of a teaspoon, because what you're trying to maintain is those histamines down that can cause trouble.
Right. So let's get to the sleep really quick. So
I'm very listening.
Yeah. So how? Just give us a general idea. Obviously, as I said, we're busy moms. How many hours should we aim for at a minimum? Let's say, especially in a busy time like this.
You're going to be shocked. Teenagers should be 9 to 12 hours.
9 to 12.
Exactly. They're supposed to be because they have a very unusual circadian rhythm. They do not get it. They're on the electronics. They're under the blankets and with the iPads. They're on with the cell phones. So
that's like my kids.
You have to teach them. But even the little kids, you have to start teaching them the ceremony to going to sleep, putting everything low, maybe a little chamomile tea, get them ready, all the electronics off, all the bright lights off, keep the TV out of the bedrooms.
Yeah, my kids do not have TVs in their bedrooms, right?
That's good.
No, I refuse. He's already got a phone in there. I'm like, it's bad enough I have to try to pull that away from him every night.
The secret phone at night, yeah.
Yeah, he takes melatonin at night. Do you recommend that?
Melatonin's interesting. Is he the 16-year-old takes melatonin?
Yes.
Who takes? Good for him. Okay, yeah. Melatonin is especially good for women. The whole thing is that for women it's even more important than the young men and men, because there's a lot of enzymes and a lot of chemistry that's actually dependent on the melatonin to be in good shape. And so melatonin teaches how to relax. Melatonin, it comes from the pineal gland. And it also depends on how our circadian, how we have light and dark come to our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So we really have to have darkness come to our eyes in order to start secreting the correct. And we have to be sleeping by 10 if we can.
Right. And you said, like you said, I think you mean quality sleep is more important than quantity of sleep, or would you say yes or no to that?
I've had to learn how to sleep longer.
Right.
I'm a sleep person, sleep expert, and I wasn't sleeping enough hours. So you have to teach yourself. So sometimes you have to use melatonin, but it's always best to try to do it naturally. And naturally, it's a good idea to just the ceremony of getting in bed,
right.
not preparing yourself, having the little tea, creating a rhythm so that every time you're in bed by 10 o'clock, or maybe even 11, but you're in bed, all the lights are off, and you're just preparing for the ceremony of going to sleep. The temperature of your body gets chillier when your body wants to go to sleep. Did you know that?
No, but I'm freezing at night, so maybe that makes sense to me.
It's time to go to sleep.
Right.
The freezing is exactly that.
Okay. Interesting. Great tips. So basically all the information you gave us about the homeopathic methods, plus, again, just making sure you go to sleep and prepare yourself, especially your children as they get in. That's just a habit. So where can our listeners find more information about you and your sleep clinic?
CortezAdvancedDentistry.com.
Cortez, C-O-R-T-E-S.
Cortez, ADVANCED,
dentistry.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Cortez, and for these wonderful tips. We'll have a link to your website on momtalkradio.com next week. And when we'll come back, we're welcoming Suzanne Duncan, the author of a upcoming book, All By Myself and Rocking It, How to Be Successful at Single Parenting. We'll be right back.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
On this segment of Mom Talk Radio, I'm pleased to welcome Suzanne Duncan, the author of an upcoming book, All By Myself and Rocking It, How to Be Successful at Single Parenting. Suzanne is calling us from Australia. Thank you so much for joining us, Suzanne.
It's a pleasure, Mary. Lovely to be here.
So you are a coach, a teacher, and a single mother of three, and that is a lot on your plate. And as I said in the intro of the show, whether you're a single parent by circumstance or choice, it presents just a whole list of challenges for a mom. So what obstacles did you encounter as a single parent?
Well, first of all, my husband passed away from cancer, so I had to deal with the grief of that loss and also manage my children. So that was something I was coming to terms with, as well as finding myself in charge of three beautiful children. So that's with adjusting to a new reality, the changing identity of myself from a couple to a single person, the fact that we're constantly on as a single parent, and the demands of parenting, just juggling all of that while trying to manage the household. Huge shift in how you see yourself and what you do each day.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, my condolences. In addition to that shift, obviously, in handling the grieving part of it, did you change? What else changed in your life in terms of your career? Were you working before, and did you have to go back to work? Did you change jobs, et cetera?
Yes. We were bringing up the children, I was a stay-at-home mother, and I went back to work part-time in the medical research industry, and then decided I really need school holidays. So studied to be a teacher and did some casual relief teaching before taking up coaching. So there was that adjustment because we have no family with us here in Melbourne, no extended family. It was the fact that I really needed to be home during the school holidays. And the fact that your friendship group changes as well. So my husband's friends, they're, you know, kept in contact, but the social engagements did drop off. So, yeah, just lots of adjustments constantly for several years.
And when did you think about starting to write the book? Was it, your husband passed away in 2011. Was it, after you obviously had time to cope with everything and get your feet under you maybe, or a little bit anyway?
So earlier this year, I really felt the need to reach out to other single parents and, you know, share my story, gather stories from other single parents, that you're not alone. And I felt this urge to connect and contribute and hopefully inspire other parents to do the best they can, irrespective of what's come before. That, you know, the future can be bright and compelling. It's just switching mindset, sort of facing challenges head on and just getting on with it.
Would you say there's one or two tips or suggestions you'd give to single parents?
Be kind to yourself. I'd really nurture yourself.
Nurture yourself? Is that what you're saying?
Nurture yourself, yes, nurture yourself. But realize that you are enough, that inside there is a reservoir of strength and resilience to be the best version of ourselves as single parents. That really the darkness, it will pass. Obstacles you face, they will, once you're through them, you can look forward to the next one.
Right.
And you know, just face everything. It's okay. Everything will pass. And you can cope. So little steps, I'd say, just little steps at a time, not adjusting your expectations of what you can and can't do. There are limitations, and just thinking, well, I can't take my son or child to that activity. And you know, just accepting that you're not a super mum anymore. So.
Right. Do you say you did not have a support network in Melbourne?
No family in Melbourne.
I know a lot of people, like my neighbor that's happened to, she obviously, the neighbors are rallying around for her and she has family, but it's still, I just don't think it's still the same, obviously. Well, good luck to you. I'm really looking forward to the book. I hope we can book you again when it actually hits the store shelves. Do you have any distribution yet, where it's going to be, and where can our listeners find information about the book and your journey?
I'm posting on Facebook, All By Myself and Rocking It Book on Facebook, Suzanne Duncan. I will link that to a web page closer to the time. And at the moment, just if anyone would like to, reaching out to me on Facebook, I'm happy to talk to anyone and help and support as much as I can.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Suzanne. So on Facebook, it's All By Myself and Rocking It Book. And when we come back, we are joined by Shelley Bailey Shaw. She is KidTripster.com. It's Marion from Maria, and we're wrapping up the show with a fantastic segment with Shelley Bailey Shaw. She is the editor of KidTripster.com, and it's an online family travel magazine that provides information and inspiration to families traveling with kids anywhere in the world. And I love this. I love it, because how many of us are going to be traveling for the holidays, even if it's, driving to grandma's house or flying overseas? I know actually Maria is planning a trip overseas in the week between Christmas and New Year, which I think is a very busy time. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Shelley.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you used to be an investigative reporter. Now you're a travel editor. It sounds like a big jump.
Actually, you know, planning the perfect family vacation, I think, is a lot like investigating a story. I mean, it requires research. And I really love to dig into a location and really unearth the very best family experiences. But I recognize that not all parents have that kind of time. So from that passion for family travel was born the idea of this website, Kid Tripster. And as you said, it's an online resource for families where you don't have to to do the work. I and my writers, I have a bunch of parent journalists. We've done the work for you. And more importantly than that, we've actually put these travel itineraries to the test. So every writer has been to that particular location with their kids.
Right. That's great. I love it. I love it. Because I'm the kind of, like, I have families that I know that are planning and planning and do all this research, and I try so hard, but I can't do it. So you're there for us, right?
That's right.
Right. So with the holidays coming up, obviously, when it comes to travel, what do we get the kids for the holidays?
Well, you know, I like this idea of starting a new family tradition that revolves around travel. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you remember what you gave your kids for the holidays last year?
Yeah, no, I'd have to think about that.
Well, you know what? Don't worry, because probably they don't either.
Right.
But they do remember, you know, your family trip to Yellowstone or Washington, D.C. or Paris. And that's really my point. Things are forgotten, if not broken or lost in the back of the closet. But experiences are remembered. So ever since my first child was born, Santa and I have sort of collaborated and given gifts around a particular theme. And in the early years, you know, there was the train Christmas and there was the art-inspired Christmas. But now that my sons have gotten older, we've sort of shifted our gift giving. And we still do themes, but now it's all about where our next family adventure will take us. So, of course, it begins by deciding, you know, where that will be. And I recommend starting small, you know, for example, a long weekend at the beach, and then raise the bar as the kids get older. And by the time the kids are in elementary school, you can start thinking as big as your budget will allow. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not about where you go as much as it is about doing it together. And I will offer this one money-saving tip. You know, when your kids are young, either not in school or maybe in early elementary, travel during the off season, you know, avoid the holidays, spring break, summer, even if that means pulling them out of school for a few days. You'll save a bundle because when they get older, I mean, mine's a junior in high school. There's no taking him out of school anymore to travel, no matter how educational I think the trip may be.
So tell us what you'd put under the Christmas tree.
First, there's the gifts to stoke anticipation. For example, one year we went on a big cross-country RV trip, and so my boys received books about every state that they'd be driving through. And so it was a great way to have them connect what they saw in the books to what we saw on the road. The second category would be gifts to educate. I think people spend a lot of money traveling to faraway places without the background to really understand and appreciate what they're going to be seeing. You know, when we were in Amsterdam, we visited the Van Gogh Museum, and before we went, the kids painted their own version of sunflowers using an artist kit that I had gotten them from Christmas. And the third category, I think, would be gifts for the actual trip. So you want to think about all those things to keep them busy on the plane or in restaurants. If you're going snorkeling in Hawaii or the Great Barrier Reef, you can wrap up wetsuits, snorkels, masks, things like that. And finally, my favorite holiday tradition is giving a gift to remember. And in our family, that's an ornament. So every year, the boys get an ornament of their own that reflects that year's theme. Those are now part of their own collection. They keep it in a separate box. They're very insistent about hanging it on the tree themselves. And as we do that, we're able to recall the memories that go with that particular ornament. So the idea is that years from now, when they celebrate in their own homes, those ornaments will be the starters for their own trees.
Shelley, how do our listeners get in touch with you and get more travel tips?
Yeah, I'd encourage your listeners to log on to kidtripster.com. There's plenty of ideas for great family vacations.
Thank you so much for joining us, Shelley, and thank you all for listening to another great edition of Mom Talk Radio. Check us out at momtalkradio.com, on Facebook, of course, and follow Mom Talk Radio on Twitter. That's Maria's account. Have a wonderful week, and we'll be back. Maria will be back behind the mic next week.